www.kölncampus.com.
Im Februar feierte der Film vom iranischen Regisseur Rafi Pitsoy-Nero, was so viel bedeutet wie Ich bin Nero, bei der Berlinale Premiere. Im Film geht es um sogenannte Green Card Soldiers. Was das ist? Green Card Soldiers ziehen nicht für ihr Land in den Krieg, sondern für eine bessere Zukunft. Für eine Green Card, eine dauerhafte Arbeits- und Aufenthaltsgenehmigung in den USA. Dafür kämpfen sie im Nahen Osten für das Land, was sie eigentlich abschieben würde. Nero Maldonado ist einer von denen. Soy Nero erzählt seine Geschichte, eine Fiktion, die auf tausenden Wahrheiten beruht. Wir sind nun mit Edgar Coronel verbunden, direkt nach Los Angeles, Kalifornien. Er spielt im Film einen latinostämmigen Grenzpolizisten. Hello, Edgar.
Hey, Federico, how you doing?
How are you? Hey, I just told in German what the movie Soy Nero is about, and it's somehow ironical that we are now about to talk about that movie, which picks out as a central theme persons who are trying to cross the border illegally to become soldiers. And now Trump. Do you know people who cross the border like that? And what do you think?
Well, there's a lot of things around this that is not just a situation when you can just put a responsibility on Trump. Mm-hmm. Because this has been going on with Democrats and Republicans about the green card soldiers. And I don't really think it's about just one party, one man. I mean, it's a whole situation for a country, how the politics are over here. Some things need to be addressed. And this matter, the movie Soy Nero, that's what I'm really proud to be part of it. It went beyond from just the movie for entertainment. It actually did something in the community, in the country, or in the politics.
Because it was the first movie talking about this topic, no?
Yeah, it's amazing because I knew about the topic because I was born and raised in Tijuana. So I knew about it because there was a lot of green card soldiers deported into Tijuana. They just stayed there and lived. Tijuana is in Mexico. It's border town with San Diego, California. So I knew about the subject, but I really didn't know much about what was the whole situation in the politics and why did that happen or not. Because I just knew about it because I knew a couple of guys that they say they got deported after being in the military and going to war. So when I got this part in this movie, I start studying about the subject, and I noticed it was like opening a can of worms. Mm-hmm. This situation is, it was the first movie made about the subject, and like you said, and it's really interesting because Hollywood used to,
they made a lot of movies about the wars,
every political situation. But this one, it would just keep aside, you know?
Yes, yes. And the movie, I saw it and we met at the Berlinale in February. Now, more than a half a year later, it's starting in Germany and in Mexico, you told me. When does the movie start in the U.S.?
I have no idea.
So it didn't start it. And
because it's, I mean, you got to understand that it's a difficult subject. But he already made some movement in the United States. We had a guy in the production that is a green card soldier. His name is Daniel Torres. Mm-hmm. So he was helping us to understand more about the subject and what was his process, what he went through, and I learned a lot from him. And the reason that I'm bringing Daniel to the subject is because he actually went with us to Berlin, and he suited up as a Marine because he is a Marine, but he was deported to Tijuana and he couldn't cross to the United States even though he served in the military. He went to war.
So he was in Afghanistan and Iraq.
After the movie came out and the Berlinale made a little bit of a media coverage on it, it hit the United States. So in my personal opinion, I'm convinced that the movie put pressure on politics to address the subject And now I'm really happy to say that Daniel Torres, the guy that I met at this production movie, that he is a green card soldier, he was able to get his papers and cross to the United States. Mm-hmm. And all this happened thanks to this movie that came out, you know, that because yeah. people knew about the subject.
Because and, of the movie. No.
And the other interesting thing is this subject was addressed from Rafi Pitz, that he's the director of the movie.
Yeah.
He's from Iran.
Yeah.
And he knew about this subject living in Paris. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's unreal that after all these years, nobody in the United States ever addressed it, not even to do like an article, you know, or there was literally extremely little information about this subject before the movie.
Yeah.
Because after the movie is a whole different thing. It turned out to be like 180 degrees turn. And like I said, it even moved to a point that politically they changed the laws, I can say, mm-hmm. in order so they can give papers to green card soldiers. And now Daniel Torres was the first green card soldier to get his papers back. But you know that if once gets it, that opens the door to
yes,
a bunch of other members of our military here in the United States to be able to come back home, you know?
Yes. And that's a good example that a movie, because the movie is a co-production from Mexico, the U.S. and Germany, you know, that a movie from outside can do pressure there.
I don't believe it's a U.S. Production. I mean, it was produced in the United States mm-hmm. and it was filmed in the United States.
Yeah.
But there was no production company from the United States.
Yeah.
The main product, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because the main it was a co-production from Mexico.
France and Germany.
France and Germany, and in a way, you can say like Greece, because we had a bunch of people from Greece on the production.
Yeah,
but yeah, the United States there was no production from the United States. I mean, it was filmed, and there was a crew from that got hired to film the movie, but they didn't invest. United States, there was no money from the United States. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And you were talking about this first green card soldier who gets his papers. The story, Nero Maldonado, is the story of this man or not? Or it's the story of thousands of men who fought in this war?
Yeah, thousands and thousands of men. I mean, it's a lot of them. I mean, you gotta see each specific case differently, because there were some green card soldiers. They did it because of the country they love, you know, the United States, because they lived there and they felt that they needed to protect their country. And other ones, they did it because of the be able to get the green paper. I mean, the green card, you know, mm-hmm. the paper, so they can live permanently in the United States. But now this is not something that we got to make this clear. This is not something that these people who became soldiers in order to get papers, they did it in a way to make something like twisted or illegal. This was proposed by the United States of America because they needed to recruit more soldiers to the army. They proposed mm-hmm. that if there were illegal immigrants and they served the country, they were going to give them papers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the offer.
Yeah, and that
so
was a
gotta
lie.
You got to make that really, really clear, because this is not something that they just jump in there and just hoping, you know, mm-hmm. hoping that they will get papers.
Yeah. It was an invitation.
Go ahead.
It was an invitation to the people to join the army, become Americans.
Yeah. It was like a proposed deal from the government of mm-hmm. the United States because they needed to recruit more soldiers. You got to remember, this was back then. It started with the Bush administration, the son. And after the 9/11, after the whole thing, so
yeah.
they needed to recruit more soldiers to go to the war and yeah. protect our country. And they offered this, so a lot of young guys, obviously makes sense. I mean, if I'm illegally in the United States and I love this country, and they offer me to serve my country and then I'll get papers, I mean,
You would do
there's
that.
You know, it's a pretty simple choice. You're able to defend the country that you love, and you're able to get papers for it. So why not? But, I mean, the sad part of it is, like, a lot of people from the military, especially talking about the Green Card soldiers, after the war, a lot of them got they were offered all the benefits that a regular soldier with papers would born or naturalized or being a legal immigrant had in the military, like medical benefits, payment, and all that good stuff, you know. But when they came back, they say that they were illegal immigrants, then they cannot get benefits. And
were deported.
Yes, but it might sound just light. Well, they got deported. But it's not like that, because a bunch of them came back traumatized by war. They needed psychological help.
Or medical,
they didn't get
too.
It. Yeah. Now, there was a lot of them that were wounded or mutilated by war. And they got deported without having any medical assistance. And it actually went a little bit further than that. There were a lot of soldiers that got killed in war that when they brought back their bodies after they died, their bodies got deported.
The bodies,
so they weren't able to have
a military
funerals from the military.
Okay.
And that's how I knew about this situation, because in Tijuana there were these funerals.
For military people,
like official funerals from the military of the United States, but it was in a Mexican cemetery. So you will see the soldiers dressed as military, Marines, Navy, whoever, and they will do it the honors as they get them in the United States, but it wasn't official, and they did it because of the heart, you know, because they were their partners in war. So that's the craziest thing, you know, that you cannot even get an honorable funeral. After serving and dying for
as all other American military.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the movie is also starting now in Mexico in the festival from Los Pasos.
Los Cabos. Yeah, it's going to be the international.
And but how is the opinion in Mexico, Los Cabos, in Baja California? No, that's not so far from that border. No, how is the opinion?
It's about 1,000 miles.
How is the opinion in Mexico about that movie? How is the opinion in Mexico about the movie? They heard it too from the Berlinale. Like there's some
There's some expectations. The movie is as well as the Berlinale is in competition. Actually, I need to take a flight tonight to go down there. So there's this expectation. We gotta I'd rather just wait and see what actually happens after people see the movie, and obviously, like I remember back in February when I was in Berlin, a lot of the media obviously asked us about the situation about, like, Donald Trump being the candidate, right?
Yeah.
And it was just something that it was taken as a joke, or it was something that it was taken not like craziness, you know, like.
It was like.
Because it was a political situation.
A show. It was and part of a show.
And now 6 months later, he gets elected, and the movie talks about political, so it's gonna boost up again the whole topic about the political situation in the United States. So the movie, I mean, you cannot talk about the movie without talking about the United States politics.
Yeah.
So obviously, I believe so that it's gonna be a huge topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be even huger now. And in the movie, you play like a border officer, which is a Latino or has Latino parents. What do you think this character, would he have voted for Trump?
I believe my character would have voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Because my character was a first generation of Mexican in heritage. The parents of this character were Mexican, born in Mexico, but he was born in the United States. And if you let me, I'll talk a little bit about my character, because it's I believe it's really interesting.
Yeah, do it shortly. Yeah, please.
Yeah, he was like I said, first generation for being Mexican American.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the leader of patrol, the unit, the border patrol unit, and all of his partners were white.
Mm-hmm.
So he will act white, you know. He will try to separate himself from his Mexican heritage and just blend in with the new culture. And that's a phenomenon that actually happens. Actually, when I got the movie, the part of the movie,
mm-hmm.
When I was talking to, when I cast for it, and I was talking to the director, Rafa Pitz, that's this discussion that we had, because he asked me about a situation, how would I think a person like my character would act.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, well, he'll be a racist. And he was curious about it, and I told him, because that's what happens is it is like a, how can I say that, as
he's proud to be now American in a legal way, maybe
not just that,
or I mean, also afraid, or is also afraid. Okay,
I'm part of the community. They see you under if you're illegal. I mean, the value, they put value on the person about their legal statuses or what country you come from.
Yeah.
So he didn't believe he was Mexican. And when he arrested Mexicans or whatever nationality they were trying to cross illegally to the United States, he felt that he was not that, that there was something else, you know?
Yeah.
So that's odd. You know, but it's real, but it's really, really real.
Yeah, and so there are also a lot of Latinos who voted for Trump, like him would have been done.
Yeah, well, talking to you in Berlin back in February.
Yeah,
a lot of things have changed. The thing is that the political situation over here, in my opinion, is really difficult. You didn't really have an option. The two options that they were out there, and I repeat, this is my personal opinion, they were not necessarily good. You know, you have this on the right wing with Donald Trump, that his whole campaign was trying to bring out, it was based in hate, you know.
Yes.
All the deep down feelings that a lot of American has,
yes,
and they block them because it's not political correct. He was able to bring that out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now in my opinion, I don't know if Hillary Clinton would have been a better option.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Really, that, you know, it's and to see people taking it personal, that let's say I wanted to vote for either candidate, whoever was gonna vote for the other one, they were gonna see me as an enemy. So it definitely divided the country.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely shows how there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, that they were never addressed, like the racial situation in over here in the United States, because a lot of people, they just keep quiet. You know, the way that I believe that Donald Trump got elected is because a lot of people believe what he believes. But they don't say it. There was a lot of people that they will not even say that they voted for him, but they did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why the polls were so different to the result now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, a lot of people that they're like Democrat, they were really disappointed about Hillary Clinton being the nominee for the Democrats.
Yeah, and voted also for Trump. You know.
Yeah, and a lot of them decided not to vote at all.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yes, so there's a lot of factors in why Donald Trump is now the elected president of the United States. But you cannot see this situation with hate, which is the thing that I've been seeing so far in the few hours after the whole news came out.
Yeah.
A lot of people are either extremely happy or extremely angry and mad, you know, this will bring more of the same situation, the division in the country and ignorance. Mm-hmm. And I say ignorance because if you take a deep look at how the elections went, it was for me a reality show production.
Yeah.
With all the elements.
Yeah, it was a show.
And you can, I mean, I saw this happening 4 years ago in Mexico. We elected
populist.
I didn't vote either.
Did you vote now in the U.S.? Are you allowed to vote?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you vote. I don't want to ask for whom.
No, I decided not to vote.
Not to vote?
No.
Okay.
I don't want nothing to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
Because voting is a privilege and a responsibility. So you got to assume the consequences of doing it as well.
Mm. Oh, you didn't want to assume the consequences of Clinton or Trump?
I'm sorry?
You didn't want to be like a complicit from Clinton or even Trump.
I would be responsible either way, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
And God, I mean, there's a lot of things going on and we need to see how this whole thing unfolds.
Yeah.
Now that the whole show is over, we'll figure out what really Donald Trump because...
Yeah. What?
With friends and just people that we talk about politics,
yeah,
we noticed that a lot of people that they were voting and they vote for Donald Trump, they knew that he was lying.
Yeah.
They knew that, like they say, that the wall that he said that he's going to build, it was impossible to do.
Yeah.
And that's what amazes me. I mean, they know that he's straightforward lying. Mm-hmm. And they still are voting for them, you know?
Yeah.
So now
we can only hope that the time shows that it's, I don't know. Only the time will show what will happen next. And I hope...
Only time will show what his true colors are.
Yeah.
Because he did this because he knew it would get him elected, or at least he believed so. And... Mm. Now we see that he's right.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of things that he said that he was going to do, it's not that simple. I mean, it's not that simple just because he's president of the United States. They need to go to Congress. There's a whole lot of process. But what I see important about this situation is that maybe people can start actually thinking and seeing what's going on and just calm down all the feelings, either they're happy or angry, and start to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And I want to make an emphasis about the whole reality show production that I saw on the whole campaign, because I don't know how it is, but like that is
I don't understand you now very good. I think you don't have.
Can you hear me there?
We don't understand you here now. It's the connection is bad.
How about there? Can you hear me now?
No. But,
hello.
Hello. Okay. I hope we talk in a later time about your next projects.
And
thank you very much. We talk later. And good luck, not only with your projects, but also like living in the USA.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it'll be good if eventually we could talk a little bit more.
Yeah.
It was always interesting talking to you. So, yeah, I could talk about my projects or something else.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
But now here, like, I don't know, it suits a little bit. Like just American woman. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, buddy.
Bring the bacon and I put it in a pan. www.kölncampus.com.
www.kölncampus.com.